Into sport.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot, don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah.
No. Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your App Store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network.
The News Round on Off the Ball
with Gillette. Put your best face forward with our new and improved razors.
This is News Talk.
And a very good evening to you. Thursday night's Off the Ball. Richie McCormack here with you right through until 10 p.m. and a packed show on the way for you. We'll reflect on day three at the Cheltenham Festival, where Rachel Blackmore's success just keeps on going. The Mare's Hurdle and the Ryanair Chase are now both tucked into her back pocket. And Gavin Cromwell's Flooring Porter surprised everybody to take the day's feature. The Stayers Hurdle will speak to the screen trainer and wrap up the day's action with John Duggan. That's coming up at around about 8:30. At 8 o'clock itself, Brian O'Driscoll is going to help us break down Ireland versus England, the final Six Nations encounter of this year. Plenty of changes from Andy Farrell. We'll dig into that momentarily in the news round as well. An Ireland squad to dig into as well, with Stephen Kenny preparing his troops for battle against both Serbia and Luxembourg later on in the month as we set out on this long and tortuous voyage towards Qatar 2020. Kevin Kilbane is going to be with us on the football show to look through all that. And also, it is, I guess, for some, Christmas Eve in terms of footballing. It is the eve of the new League of Ireland season, and Stewie Byrne is going to be joining us on the football show as well tonight between 9 and 10 to look ahead to the new campaign and if indeed there is any stopping Shamrock Rovers and what at all is going on at Dundalk. Plus, it being Thursday night, John Giles is going to join us at 7:30 to look back at the week's football, the sacking of Chris Wilder, which now already seems like a million years ago, and as well the North London Derby. And we've got live Europa League action to keep on top of tonight as well. Manchester United looking to see off AC Milan. Tottenham and Arsenal both just about getting the job done tonight against Dinamo Zagreb and Olympiacos. You can get in contact tonight. You can text us 53106 for 30 cent. You can also get in contact on Twitter at Off the Balls, where you get us there. The news round will bring you tonight with Amory Donlan, who's with us in the Off the Ball office, and also from the palace the Patreon built, it's Nathan Murphy. Good evening, Nathan.
Evening, Richie.
How are you getting on? A bit of a busy day in the old team news front. We're kind of keeping tracks and keeping tabs and everything that's going on between Andy Farrell starting 15 for Saturday and also Stephen Kenny's panel that's going to be jetting off to Belgrade and to take on Luxembourg, and then obviously that friendly with Qatar as well. Lots to keep on track of as Olympiacos pull a goal back and aggregate. They've taken the lead away to Arsenal. But as well, again, Nathan, a magnificent day for Rachel Blackmore at the Cheltenham Festival.
Oh, it's just ridiculous. It is just insane what she is doing this week. And all those end-of-year awards that you wonder who's going to be taking them home. Well, Rachel Blackmore is going to be taking a whole lot of them home, because she is setting a bar this week that is going to be very hard for any other Irish sports person to attain over the next 8-9 months. Again, such a shame there's not 100,000 people there cheering her on, because the momentum that she has built all week. What is it now? 5 winners over the course of the week. It's just such a brilliant achievement, and she looks like she's enjoying every single minute of it. And imagine what it'll be like tomorrow if she can go and somehow claim a Gold Cup as well.
Yeah, it will be quite something. And we have to note as well, quite a day for Danny Mullins, who I don't think was expecting quite end the day as happy as he did. But he ended up taking the saddle on Flooring Porter for Gavin Cromwell and ended up guiding the 12-1 shot to victory in the Stairs, which is just remarkable fairy tale stuff.
Is Flooring Porter, is that a term?
I saw this earlier on.
Part of the country.
I don't know if you're familiar with Moontour Ray, Ray Wingnut on Twitter earlier on. He was the one, he backed it earlier on just based on the name. And I presumed it was somebody who was, you know, laying into the pints, let's just say, were such a service available to you in this day and age. But it's a new one on me. But it does sound all the better when you say it in a Meath accent, which Gavin Cromwell can probably do for us a little bit later on the show. But Flooring Porter, a remarkable success and a brilliant success for Danny Mullins.
Go on, Richie. You know you want to give us your best mead accent. So you're pretty much a mead man.
More or less, yeah. See, I can end up like my dad used to do, whereby when he was on the phone back to down home, it's like all the vowels start to get longer and you start to talk a little bit more like that. You know what I mean? But I won't, because that would be insulting to all and sundry as well. But lots going on. We'll kick into the news round, which as always is with thanks to Gillette. We don't just play the game. We change Gillette made of what matters. Anne-Marie, we'll start off with Matters Cheltenham.
Yeah, and Rachel Blackmore looks like she could well finish up leading rider at the Cheltenham Festival tomorrow, Richie. The Tipperary jockey got her fourth and fifth winner this afternoon, so she's two ahead. She guided the Willie Mullins trained Aloha to victory in the Reinhardt Chase, and then she was also winner in the Mares Novices Hurdle. That was with the Henry de Bromhead trained Tell Me Something Girl. The Tipperary native couldn't quite find words to express the success afterwards.
I don't even know myself, to be honest. And I wish I could give you something really good, but I'm genuinely just so overwhelmed by these last few days. You know, it's all about the horses you're getting on, and I just feel so lucky to be riding for the people I'm riding for.
This has probably been touched on a few times already this week, Nathan, but it is brilliant. This is exactly the kind of story, I guess, that racing needed after the mess that we saw with Gordon Elliott in particular, and the video gate and all that kind of stuff, to have such a feel-good story coming out of Cheltenham, and such somebody who's just not at all willing to play themselves up. She's so mature. She's so, I guess she's really humble about what she's achieving this week.
It's all natural, yeah, as well.
The way she conducts herself is so refreshing. Sorry to interrupt you there, Nathan. But like,
fire ahead, Anne-Marie.
Like, when she rides these amazing winners, and she just wants to thank the trainers that have trusted in her, and she just wants to thank the horses. Like, she never, ever bigs herself up. It's just so great to see.
When was the last time we came across a cocky jockey, though?
I was literally just thinking the exact same thing. Careful now, Richie. I was thinking the exact same thing. Have you ever heard a jockey after winning a big race gone, I'll tell you, that horse had nothing going for it. Thank God I was on board today. Yeah. Or else it wouldn't have had a hope in hell.
It is a humble person's sport, because everybody else is willing to pass off the credit on someone else. So like, the jockey is going to pass off credit on the horse and on the trainer. The trainer is going to purely pass it off on the way the jockey and the horse guided themselves around the track. Nobody, like, it's almost the anti-version of a Mexican standoff, where nobody's willing to take the credit for anything that's happened out there. But clearly it is an amalgamation of everything and a confluence of factors that has led to these successes, and to Blackmore's in particular. But I'm trying to think of if anybody has any examples of cocky jockeys.
Cocky jockey.
Well, listen, if ever there is an off the ball horse, and please God, one day there might be, I think cocky jockey is the name that we're going to have to go for it, unless it's already been taken, of course.
Please stop saying cocky jockey, Richie.
Yeah. What do you want me to say instead? Like, it's the best combination of words.
Arrogant jockey, Mike.
Arrogant. A Lester Piggott, could you count him as arrogant back in the day? Always struck me as a little bit more confident than most.
It's in that post-race conversation. You never hear anybody take any credit for themselves. I'm sure off the course there's loads of jockeys who are cocky jockeys, Richie.
Stop saying it, Nathan. We'll move on. As we mentioned, a fantastic success for a Scream Man, Gavin Cromwell, today, Anne-Marie.
Yeah, the Gavin Cromwell trained 12-1 shot Florian Porter, as you mentioned earlier, won the feature race that was the Stayers Hurdle, guided home by Danny Mullins, marking his first ever win at the festival. And a bit of a fairy tale story, he only found out today that he'd ride the 6-year-old. Jonathan Moore was due to do so, but he didn't take the ride. Mullins said, as much as he enjoyed it, he can't really take much credit for this one.
I got the call up maybe an hour beforehand. In fairness, Jonathan Moore, he gave me every little bit of information he had about the horse. And, you know, the credit to him, you know, he knew he wasn't in good shape this morning and stood himself down. I'm really enjoying what I've got out of the day, but I'd say 2% of the success is down to me. 98% is Johnny, Gavin and all the team.
Penny for Jonathan Moore's thoughts this evening, Nathan, because, you know, he had the chance to ride a winner. Gavin Cromwell, in the lead into the festival, was quietly confident. I'm not going to say he was banking on Florian Porter to go and win the Stayers today, but, you know, definitely thought that the horse is in with a chance. Jonathan Moore thinks he's going to get the ride on the horse and suddenly finds himself unable and watches from the distance as Danny Mullins goes and takes the victory.
Yeah, I think that jockeys are usually quite pragmatic about this. They understand the way the game works, that sometimes it works out in your favor, and sometimes you have days like today where you're watching on, and somebody else has taken, well, not the glory again, because the jockey only was 2% this time, Richie. Yeah.
He said it was the hardest thing he ever did to make the decision.
I'd imagine it would be. It's like, it's a big, big chance, and yeah.
But in fairness, he was first over to him afterwards.
You love to see it. That is what we call on Twitter in terms of football, a classy gesture. Hashtag nice touch. But I guess the big story from that race being, you know, the failure of Envoy Allan, Emery.
Yeah, Envoy Allan in the Grade 1 Novice Chase. It fell at the fourth, I believe. The 9-1 shot, Chantry House, was the winner there for Nicky Henderson. So Envoy Allan beaten, unbeaten before today.
We have a text in from Frank. He says, jockeys know they're reliant on the goodwill of trainers and the owners, so they don't have to be super gracious. Zlatan knows he doesn't have to thank Stefano Pioli after each game. He knows he's starting the next one. And indeed, back in the Sweden squad as well is our Zlatan this week. We have the Ireland team in, Anne-Marie, for Saturday's game with England, and plenty of changes. Mandy Farrell.
Yeah, Andy Farrell named his side that will face England in their final Six Nations game on Saturday. It's at the Aviva Stadium. Six changes to the starting 15 that beat Scotland last weekend. Three changes in the backs, with Bundiaki taking the place of the injured Gary Ringrose. So then Robbie Henshaw switches to outside centre. Jacob Stockdale replaces James Lowe on the wing, while Conor Murray starts at scrum half. That's in place of Jemison Gibson-Park. In the forwards, Dave Kilcoyne will start at loose head in place of Keane Healy. James Ryan is unavailable, so Thaig Byrne switches to the second row. CJ Stander moves to blindside, and Jack Conan comes in to play number 8. Will Connors has a knee injury, meaning that Josh van der Fleer starts at open side. CJ Stander, obviously, this will be his last game at the Aviva Stadium for Ireland, and head coach Andy Farrell was asked today if this adds an extra little layer of emotion.
Well, I suppose if we need any more emotion to go into an England game, which is the last game of a competition, you know, we're in the wrong place anyway. But what we do want to do is enjoy the week for CJ, with CJ, and make sure that we put in a performance that he's happy to end his Ireland career on.
We'll get to that in a moment. Dinamo Zagreb just pulled a goal back. They're taking the lead on the night, just past the hour mark at home to Tottenham, and made it 2-1 to Spurs in aggregate. And the goal itself, an absolute gem, a curled right-footed effort from Orsic from just outside the box. We'll get a replay of it shortly, but the number 99 has brought Dinamo Zagreb, who are managerless because their manager, or former manager now, appears to be going to jail, are back in this Europa League tie, just from the edge of the box, curled past Hugo Lloris, who had no chance in the Spurs goal. Zagreb back in contention in that tie, as I mentioned. But Nathan, six changes from Andy Farrell. Some of them we kind of foresaw. Obviously, Gary Ringrose was ruled out. James Ryan was ruled out. We kind of figured maybe the Conor Murray, for all his experience, would be brought in. There was a little bit of a school of thought, and our own Tommy Rooney was one of those people who put it out there earlier in the week, that CJ Stander shouldn't actually be involved in this Saturday's game. What do you make of it?
Well, Andy Farrell said today that they knew now for 6 or 7 weeks about CJ Stander's decision. So they'd obviously decided at the start of this tournament they were going to go with him. In any other year, I would have said he shouldn't have played. But the importance financially this year, above all years, to the IRFU means that you have to go out and select your best 15. There is no long-term view here at all. They need every penny they can get right now. So I think it's understandable that they would play Stander. I still think it's very disappointing that he is leaving. Six changes seems to be a bit more than everybody was expecting. Does it suggest that all the way through the Six Nations, he's still not sure of what his best starting 15? Or is he looking at England as a good barometer to throw some players in and say, can you step up? Because if you can deliver against England, I know I'll be able to trust you in the big games coming down the track. James Lowe dropping out, while most people were very critical of his performances, an awful lot of people felt he still should be given another chance. Really, though, it doesn't feel as though it's the names, it's the style that is still the big issue.
Yeah.
That it doesn't matter who's on there. It's being that bit more creative, starting to take a few more risks, that taking advantage of the situations you've created yourself at the breakdown with the turnovers, coming alive, having a bit of a spark, that all those things any player can bring to a game if either they're allowed or it's within the game plan. So I think that, more than anything, is what people want to see on Saturday. It doesn't necessarily matter who the 15 are.
Johnny Murphy was of the opinion that Ireland aren't actually that far away, and it's something we'll touch on with Brian O'Driscoll after 8 o'clock, in terms of that heads up kind of rugby that, you know, he pointed towards the Tyke Furlong and Twinkle Toes kind of stuff last week, whereby that almost gave us one of those instances whereby we were going to see a heads up rugby, we were going to see the ball moving through hands, we were going to see Ireland, I guess, playing in an exciting on the front foot kind of way. But, you know, sometimes circumstances don't allow for that. It looks like, as you mentioned, Nathan, there, we're going to have to dig in and just try and get a result from this England game, because the financial aspect of it is so stark now that you need to eke out every few quid from this competition. You absolutely can. And those preparations for the 2023 Rugby World Cup, as much as we might like to think that we are building towards it and that you're building a squad and trying to put out a style of play that's going to get you through the group and going to get you through possibly a quarter final, the stark realities are we've got to make money, and for want of a better term, we've got to wash our own face with this thing this year.
Well, I think that was always thrown out there around the Six Nations and people sort of tut-tutted, whereas now it is 100% the truth. The IRFU, even with the CVC money, are in extreme financial difficulty, and it's real-life difficulty. People down to four-day weeks, cutbacks within the organisation. So if every place is worth £500,000, you want to finish in the highest position possible. England is a totally different task to Scotland, because you can beat Scotland with a bad performance. I don't think you can beat England with a bad performance. If you beat Scotland and it's a 10-9 win, it will be celebrated. You will be looking at a huge amount of positives. So in terms of style and that conversation, I think when you're playing England, if you win, it covers over everything else that has gone on.
Yeah, we'll get to that at 8 o'clock with Brian O'Driscoll, as I mentioned, streamed a little bit earlier on as well. But first, on 15th of March last year, 8,000 pubs across Ireland closed their doors. As we mark 1 year since pubs closed this week on Off the Ball, in association with Guinness, we're celebrating the people and the stories that make our nation's pubs great as we look forward to their safe reopening. Tonight, we're giving away a €250 voucher to spend on a staycation or a pub lunch when things finally open up yet again. To give us a chance of winning tonight, just identify our mystery voice who's used to sinking pots rather than sinking pints, and he still really appreciates when bar staff pull the perfect pint.
Yeah, the very, very difficult. A lot of pressure on it.
That almost sounds like Nathan. One more time.
Yeah, the very, very difficult. A lot of pressure on it.
Yeah, text your name and your answer if you're thinking of who that is.
That's not a pure dub accent.
There was a twinge to it that suggested Nathan at the start, and then it devolves into a Dublin accent. But if you think you know who it is, and it isn't Nathan, text your name and your answer to 53106 for 30 cents. We will announce the winner after the show. And it's all with thanks to Guinness Raising the Bar. Drink responsibly. Visit drinkaware.ie.
Hey, Richie, just because the shoe's on the other foot doesn't mean that we can't have our Thursday night Golf Weekly mentioned. I know you're trying to get through an entire news round without an in-depth review
of
this week's Golf
against
Weekly.
Us, Nathan.
And
there's
still,
a lot going
Richie,
on.
Still, Richie, we're 5-6 weeks into this, and I look all the time at the Patreon, at the subscribers, and I don't see your name there. But that's fine. I'm sure you'll join up just in time for the Masters. Get on to otbsports.com/Golf Weekly right now, Richie. $3.99 guaranteed podcast every single week, like there was today, where you'll be glad to know, Richie. Mm. I think it timed in at a cool 42 minutes on Rory McIlroy's post-round comments. Sorry, just on that section. Obviously, the
just
whole
on that section.
Obviously, the whole podcast was an hour and a half long.
Is that why you're not here to like in the office tonight? It's basically because you spent 42 minutes going on about Rory McIlroy's post-match comments and him trying to out-beef Bryson DeChambeau.
I wouldn't say that Golf Weekly is going well with the move to Patreon, but I just couldn't be asked coming into the office anymore. I am here swigging champagne of a Thursday, enjoying my life. It's the future, Richie.
Duly noted. Anne-Marie, we have an Ireland squad for these games with Serbia and Luxembourg.
Yeah, and teenage goalkeeper Gavin Bazunu could be in line to make his Republic of Ireland debut next week. The Manchester City keeper, who's currently on loan at Rochdale, has been called up to the senior squad. That's for the first time ahead of those World Cup qualifiers. Manager Stephen Kenny has named four keepers in the squad. He is awaiting an update on Liverpool keeper Cleveen Kelleher's fitness before the players report on Sunday. And he did suggest today that he will start him if he's fit.
Yeah, I could see why people be concerned, lack of experience. Like, I think I understand that. I think Cuivin has had obviously played 10 under 21 internationals for me, under me, and he was brilliant, did very well. I think he's played 5 games for Liverpool this year, 2 in the Champions League, so he's used to big games, and that won't be an issue for him. Mark Travers is definitely the next one in, and Mark has obviously played for Ireland already, made his debut and played some important games for Bournemouth and had a recent spell at Swindon. We've seen, obviously, the other, Gavin do brilliantly at he's a brilliant young prospect, and Kieran, who's been in the squad before. So that's where we are at the moment. They're the best goalkeepers that we have.
Nathan, the complexion of this squad looked entirely different when it was named today, because Aaron Connolly's name was in it, and suddenly there's a bit of hope and optimism that the Brighton striker could be fit, despite Graham Potter last week revealing cracked ribs and that, you know, he wouldn't be back in action until early April after the international break. With an Aaron Connolly in there, it suddenly kind of changes the way we look at this squad.
Well, suddenly you're looking at a player who's playing on a semi-regular basis in the Premier League, being able to start in one of the attacking positions, and it did sound extremely positive, and it's so refreshing actually to see players so desperate to come in, even if maybe their club managers aren't happy about it. I'd imagine Michael O'Neill at Stoke isn't particularly pleased with James McLean rushing himself back to get fit for international duty, but McLean is travelling. He keeps putting it up on his Instagram. He is coming to the training session in Manchester on Sunday, whether they like it or not. So Connolly was a bit of a surprise. I was sat in on the press conference earlier. Queevan Kelleher, it still feels as though it's up in the air and probably be Liverpool's decision. We touched on this earlier in the week. There's any amount of options for Stephen Kenny in this squad. We could sit here and we could all pick an 11 and it will probably be radically different, because there's so many players who can fit in and there's so few guaranteed starters. But Connolly is one of them. If he's fit, he will play. And Stephen Kenny said he thinks he'll be okay. Play him against Serbia. If you need to rest him for the next two games or let him go back to Brighton, do that. But this is a game of massive, massive importance. Stephen Kenny pointed out it's an 8-game group, that if you can get a quick start, well, actually getting early points can maybe just affect the mentality of some of the other teams in the group and make it a bit easier as you go on. So Connolly, if he's fully fit, starts this game and hopefully can be the game changer.
What was Kenny's demeanour like today? Because this is, I guess, the first time we've heard from him this year, and properly, I guess, in the week since Damien Duff departed.
It was a peculiar setup. One, actually, I think that suited Stephen Kenny in the circumstances. So it's all on Zoom right now, and there's a limit of two questions per journalist, which means it's very difficult to get a follow-up question. So I did ask him about the departure of Damien Duff and Anthony Barry's appointment, and Stephen Kenny sort of filibustered me, where he said, thanked Damien Duff for everything he'd done, spoke about Anthony Barry being a positive appointment, but all he wanted to do was talk about the squad. And if you look at the squad and the different parts of the country they're from, we've got players from Tipperary, from Cork, from Galway, from Dublin. We've got the London Irish, the Manchester Irish were represented from all the Irish communities over the world. And that was basically his answer. And there was no opportunity for a follow-up, which I think for Stephen Kenny is exactly what he would have wanted, because that Damien Duff story could end up becoming a talking point again over the next week, where he has such a little amount of time with the squad that that is the last thing he wants. He just wants to somehow try and concentrate in the match in that those one or two training sessions.
Yeah, yeah. Young Kevin Kilbane on the Football Show has taken time away from his OK Magazine commitments to speak to us about that squad a little bit later on after 9 o'clock. We have an England squad as well today, Anne-Marie.
Yeah, and John Stones, Jesse Lingard and Luke Shaw all earned England recalls. That's ahead of their World Cup qualifiers. Liverpool fullback Trent Alexander-Arnold left out of those games against San Marino, Albania and Poland. He obviously has been a bit out of form recently, so he hasn't been recalled there.
Yeah, and the latest from the Europa League, it's an interesting night for both Spurs and Arsenal. They're doing their best to make themselves a bit nervy in the last 15 minutes or so.
Yeah, Dinamo Zagreb lead Spurs 1-0 there, but that is 2-1 on aggregate to Spurs. And then Olympiakos are 1-0 up against Arsenal. That's at the Emirates, but that's 3-2 on aggregate. In just under an hour at 8 o'clock, Manchester United face AC Milan. That's 1-1 after the first leg. And then Rangers and Slavia Prague at Ibrox. That's also 1-1.
Yeah, Lucas Moura with a half chance there, just hitting the side netting. Gareth Bale has been sent on as Spurs seeking away goal that would really put this tie to bed, but still pretty nervy. We'll wrap with golf, Anne-Marie, just so Nathan can get another Golf Weekly plug in right at the end.
Yeah, Nathan, when is the next Golf Weekly?
As you should know as well, Anne-Marie, name also absent. No freebies for off the ball staff, by the way. Just get on to otbsports.com/golfweekly, Anne-Marie, and you'll find out. But every Thursday, 2 hours of golf and goodness coming your way.
Okay, and just to sniff it, Shane Lowry shot an impressive 3 under par first round of 67 at the Honda Classic in Florida. That leaves him in a tie for sixth, six shots off the lead that's held by Australian Matt Jones. Padraig Harrington 1 over through 8. Graham McDowell way back on 9 over. That was after a nightmare first round of 79, 4 bogeys and 3 double bogeys. And subscribe for Golf Weekly and you can get more there.
I have to say, Anne-Marie, mm-hmm. Thursday after Thursday, the disdain that Richie McCormack gives to Golf Weekly, you have somehow managed to surpass it.
He's just jealous that he wasn't invited.
That is true.
How do I get into this sweet, sweet Patreon cash? That's all I don't know. We've had a couple of suggestions. We've had a couple of good suggestions, actually, in terms of the cocky jockeys on 5-3-1-0-6. Damien in Wexford, our own Stephen Doyle as well, gave us a shout with this one too. Would you consider Frankie Dettori?
Yeah, I was going to say Frankie Dettori.
Yeah, I think Frankie Dettori would be a good one.
That's who springs to mind for me.
And also, Michael and Kerry and Francis in Galway shedding some light on the name Flooring Porter. The owners of Flooring Porter are a syndicate of publicans and a flooring company. A great name, says Michael. And lads, one owner has a flooring company, the other two own pubs. True story, heard it earlier on the station. Fantastic stuff, says Francis. Thank you for all of those. We'll be reflecting on day 3 at Cheltenham with the jubilant Gavin Cromwell and possibly the equally jubilant John Duggan and his hat after 8:30. Brian Orjuska looking ahead to Ireland versus England between 8 and 8:30. Then the football show at 9, Kevin Kilbane and Stewie Byrne looking ahead to the Ireland qualifiers with that squad name today and to the new League of Ireland season. And up next, John Giles.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
The OTB Podcast Network.